Today, President Bush met with his national security team at the Pentagon. In a statement afterward, he offered his endorsement of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
You are courageously leading our nation in the war against terror. You're doing a superb job. You are a strong Secretary of Defense, and our nation owes you a debt of gratitude.
Members of Congress and some in the military have called for Rumsfeld's resignation in the wake of the Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse scandal. But for now, at least, Bush is standing by the secretary. Joining us now to talk about the political dilemma Bush faces is Michael Duffy, Washington bureau chief for Time magazine. He joins us now by phone from his office in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here, Joe.
So what does it mean that Bush made these statements today?
Well, it has felt like that in the last 48 hours, the White House has tried to rally a bit of support for Rumsfeld. They got a little forward on their skis, I think, Friday and Saturday. The effort to distance themselves from the defense secretary, which was genuine through the middle and late last week, I think got a little too out of control. And they recognized that if they separated themselves anymore, he was going to be rendered ineffective here and abroad. So starting with Vice President Cheney's comment the other day, I guess yesterday, about how people ought to get off Rumsfeld's back. And then today, with the visit to the Pentagon, they've wrapped their arms a bit more around Rumsfeld. It's not a super tight embrace, the kind you might get from your 8-year-old, you know, son, but it's more of a hug than they were giving him last week.
So is this settled? I mean, is Rumsfeld secure and can start checking out long books from the Pentagon Library?
It is not settled. Rumsfeld has made it very clear, and the White House is quite, you know, I think appreciates this, that he will go if he is asked to go or needs to go. There's no point in Rumsfeld stepping out until the worst of the information or evidence or pictures or videos or whatever's coming is out there. They need somebody to, you know, pull the ripcord on. He's the obvious candidate. But they don't want to do that until, I think, they know that the worst is over. So he's in a wait-and-see mode. I'm sure the White House is. They needed to buck him up a little bit, and that was what the last 24 hours have been about.
What's the potential negative aspect to standing by Rumsfeld? Is there any?
Well, there's not a lot of positive aspect to any of this. It's just a matter of choosing your various negatives and what's the worst. Well, they are running two wars, and that's a big job, quite apart from what's going on with the problems in the American prisons. They don't have a lot of great candidates to step in and do this. They're of no mind to hand the thing over to Paul Wolfowitz, who's far more of a theorist than a manager. Usually the defense secretary in our country has been sort of a big picture guy, and the number two fellow has been the day-to-day, hands-on, nuts-and-bolts manager of the military. That's not the case here. Rumsfeld's the manager, and number two, Paul Wolfowitz, is the thinker. So they don't have a good option there. You know, Rumsfeld, I think, he's an extraordinary force of nature. And while he is obviously, we talked to someone on Saturday who spent a lot of time with him that day and said, you know, had his considerable doubts about what to do next, but I don't think he's going to go until he absolutely has to.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So what about Wolfowitz? He seems Deputy Defense Secretary. The President hasn't explicitly said, and we like you too, but does he have to, or is that implied if he's keeping his boss around?
Well, I don't know that any of this yet affects the Deputy Secretary at the moment. So much of this is about what we're going to, I think, find out over the next 4 or 5 days here, Joe, is how far up the chain of command this policy, if it was a policy, these practices were understood and briefed and okayed. There was a funny moment last week in the hearing where Senator McCain seemed to be getting very close to getting Rumsfeld and his deputy for intelligence, Steve Cambone, to talk about how far up they had been briefed or perhaps even approved some of the, I guess, what you could call the arrangements at the prison. But we never really got the answer. Tomorrow, Cambone is going to go up to the Hill. I think those questions are going to get answered tomorrow. So is the general who wrote the scathing report, most of which has been released, that he's going up tomorrow. So we're going to find out, I think, within 24 to 48 hours, a lot more about how things came to be at Abu Ghraib.
Okay, Michael Duffy, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Michael Duffy is the Washington Bureau Chief for Time Magazine. He joined us from his office in Washington, D.C. For a look at the situation inside the Pentagon, we turn now to Washington Post military reporter Thomas Ricks. He joins us by phone from his office in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So you reported on Sunday that there was a profound anger building within the Army at Rumsfeld and those around him. Is it building still, or have the military brass realized that the president is sticking with his man and that will dissipate this anger?
No, I think it's building still. If anything, I've been struck by the reaction to my story, which was overwhelmingly positive from military people, with several people telling me things like it sounded like I'd been listening to their private conversations in their office.
Really? And I understand that the Army Times has come out with an editorial that is also quite critical today of the Secretary of Defense.
I'm told the same thing, but do keep in mind that Army Times, despite its official-sounding title, is a private publication that frequently is critical of the Pentagon and of senior officials.
So how much of this discontent, because I'm sure there's always some discontent, but how much of this discontent has gotten exacerbated by the abuses at Abu Ghraib, or is it really something else going on here?
Well, you're right. There is always discontent. It's said that one way you can tell a soldier is alive is if he's griping. This kind of discontent is striking to me and different from anything I've ever seen in over a decade of covering the U.S. military. The major difference is people are going on the record. My story begins with a quote from the commander of the 82nd Airborne Division, one of the most storied units in the United States Army. He is the current commander of that division. The second person quoted is an active duty colonel, Paul Hughes, who was the first director of strategic planning for the U.S. Occupation Authority in Baghdad last summer. Then I have other people, other generals, quoted without their names attached, talking about their anger towards Rumsfeld. It's been exacerbated by the prison detainee scandal, partly because they just feel the whole thing has been poorly handled, reflected strains on the Army. They feel like a lot of honorable service has been stained by these horrible acts of these MP reservist unit. There's some feeling that the prison scandal occurred because there weren't enough adequately trained troops, because they were using reservists for difficult jobs they weren't ready for and that sort of thing. But really, the tension has been there a lot longer and is a lot bigger than the detainee abuse scandal in their minds. They're worried about how long U.S. forces will be in Iraq, how long U.S. troops will be dying in Iraq, and how long the American people are going to put up with that situation. And what they're saying is, hey, maybe you need to change your goals there. Maybe you need to be a little less ambitious. Maybe just instead of trying to turn Iraq into a free democracy that becomes a beacon that transforms the Middle East, which is official Bush administration policy, these generals are saying, maybe you should scale back and just settle for a stable Iraq, maybe run by an old Iraqi general for a while.
Quickly, you also spoke to several people who support the secretary. What did they tell you?
Absolutely. I should emphasize that there's a division here in the military. It's not unanimous by any means. I talked to General Abizade, the U.S. commander for the Middle East. I talked to brigade and battalion commanders and other people on the ground. They were cautiously optimistic. They're saying, no, we're not losing strategically, but we need to be careful here. We could lose it. A lot of guys on background were saying things to me like, we're not winning as well as we were before. If we're not careful, we could lose it, but it's still on the balance. We're on the brink, as one guy put it.
Okay. I'm afraid that's all we have time for in this program today. Thanks very much for your time, Thomas Ricks.
Thank you for having me.
Thomas Ricks is the military reporter for The Washington Post. He was with us by phone from his office in Washington, D.C. You've been listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. In Washington, I'm Joe Palca.